Today's Daf Yudzayin, today's learning is sponsored by Amy and Moshe Cedarbaum. It was on the thing, I'm not sure the list, but either way, for the Lila Nishmas, I think the whole week, and then also for Refuah Shlema, for Brian DeLea, Bas Yehudis Ariella. Okay, let's take it on the top of Yudzayin and Alf. We got four lines down. The Gemara yesterday was talking about the statement, which we ended up talking about after the Shir, the statement about Rav Asi, who said that a person who's over the Kochavim Shekidish, Bisman Azeh, Choshishin La Kedushin, Shemat Me Asar Sashvatim, who were concerned that maybe the man had come from Asar Sashvatim, even though they acted and they assimilated in very much, but maybe they were coming from those families that were the Asar Sashvatim and the particular locations that had the Asar Sashvatim. So we're talking about, was that referring to the boy or the girl? Who was Asar Sashvatim? So the Gemara seems to address both them on today's daf. So the Gemara says four lines down, Ki Amrisa Kame de Shmuel. When they said the statement that we're choshish, when a person marries a guy, we're choshish, that guy might be considered from the Asar Sashvatim, and there would be a good kedush in them. So then, Amarle Bincha, Habab Min Yisraelis, Kar Bincha, a child who comes from your daughter, who's a, if your daughter's a Jew, so that child, in other words, your grandson, that's called Bincha. But Ve'ein Bincha, Habab Min Ha'ovei Des Kochavim, Kar Bincha, but if the grandchild is a product of your son who married a non-Jewish woman, that follows the women. We know the mother is always the one who dictates whether the child is a Jew or not a Jew. So if, again, it depends. If it's your daughter who's with the guy, so that child's going to be a Jew. If it's a son who's with a non-Jew, that child is going to be a non-Jew following the mother. So that's the din. So why are you concerned of it being a good kedushin? It's not a good kedushin because if your son marries a chas v'shalom, a non-Jewish lady, the child's not going to be Jewish. There's no issues of of mamzeres. So Gemara says, what do you mean? Why are you only concerned of the sons marrying non-Jewish women? Va'ikabanos. What about one's own daughter? What if they marry one of these non-Jews? Then the child will be a Jew, and then there's a chashash of being good kedushin. So why are you concerned with that way? So Va'amar Avina, Avina said, Shema Amina, we learn from here that Ben Bitcha, Haba, Mina Ovid Kochavim Kar Bincha. Either way, we see that the statement is that a grandson who comes from one's daughter, even though the daughter had been married to a non-Jew, that child is still going to be a Jew. And shouldn't we be concerned that that non-Jewish father is really Jewish, and therefore it's going to lead to mamzeres? Fine. So the Gemara says, we're not so concerned with the daughters marrying non-Jewish men. Why not? So Gemara says something interesting. Gemiri, we have a tradition. Debunta dehudara, the daughters of that generation, it's starue, it's staru. What does that mean? If you look at Rashi on halfway down the page here, it's staru, it's staru. Then nivka rachman miliklot zera v'nasu akara. Somehow their womb got injured. Some explain from when they were traveling to when the Asar Sashvatim were exiled. They're all the wombs of these ladies, these girls. Their rachm was ruined, and they were not able to hold the child, so they all became barren, and no children came from these daughters. So the only chashash were the boys of the Asar Sashvatim who may have married non-Jewish women, and that we know the product is going to be not Jewish. So that's why there's no concern there. So the Gemara that says Ikadami, others say this conversation went a little bit differently. Kamrisa Kame de Shmuel Amarli, when they said the statement of Rav Asi that were choshesh of a kedushin of to a non-Jew of the Asar Sashvatim, so Amarli says to me Lo Zazim Musham, what we're not really concerned because that generation, what happened was the Bezdin did not move from there when the Asar Sashvatim had been sent out into exile. Ad Shasam Ke'ov de Kochavim Gemurim. They had made these Jewish 10 tribes. They gave them a din of an Ovei Kochavim, Gemurim, Shenemar, Bashem, Bagadu, that they rebelled against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kibanim, Zarm, Yaladu, and therefore all their offspring were considered Zarm, were considered non-Jews. That was the ability of Bezdin somehow, how maybe through Hefker, Bezdin, Hefker, they have the ability to make them non-Jewish. That was the din. Now there's a big discussion that we showed him. Was this true only of the Asar Sashvatim? Do they render them non-Jewish? What about other Jews who assimilated over time and assimilated in a very serious way? Will they also be considered of the Kacham, or this was something that was uniquely done to the Asar Sashvatim? So this is a big machlok because we showed him whether or not this was just unique again to Asar Sashvatim or to all Jews who become very seriously assimilated. Do they have a din of over the Kacham? Either way, for that reason, there is no chashash of them marrying non-Jews because they themselves were non-Jews. So Gemara then says, Yosef Rav Yosef Achorei de Rav Kana. Rav Yosef was one sitting behind Rav Kana. V'yosef Rav Kana Kame de Rav Yehuda. And Rav Yehuda, Rav Kana rather, was sitting in front of Rav Yehuda. V'yosef V'kama, Rav Yehuda was sitting and saying, Asidin Yisrael of the Yom Tova ki Charba Tarmod. In the future, Klai is going to make a big celebration when the city of Tarmo gets destroyed, because they had many Mamzerim there, and Mamzerim were intermingling. They were intermarrying into our Kal, where we had good Yichus. Mamzerim were marrying in. So once that city gets destroyed, we're going to celebrate this way. There's no concern of Mamzerim anymore. So asks Gemara, v'hacharv, wasn't the city of Tarmo already destroyed? What do you mean they will be happy? Already had been destroyed in the past. Gemara says, Hahu Tamod Havu. No, there's two cities. There's Tamod and there's Tarmod. Tamod had been already destroyed, but Tarmod, which was a city of terrible Mamzerus, that has not yet been destroyed. And when it will be destroyed, the Klai is going to make an incredible Yom Tov. So Rav Ashi said, Hainu Tarmod, Hainu Tamu. Nope, the same exact city. Two different names for the same exact city. However, even though we know it was already destroyed, there is some type of inverse relationship from the two sides of the city. In other words, Charv Mehai Gisa, Osiv Mehai Gisa. When one side of the city was destroyed, so then they were able to rebuild the other side of the city. V'ichar Mehai Gisa, but if that other side was destroyed, they were able to, Osiv Mehai Gisa, to rebuild the opposite side. Never was the city of Tarmod ever destroyed entirely. It was half and half. It was always going up and down, up and down. But once the city will be entirely destroyed, both ends of the city, then there's going to be a big celebration, this big Yom Tov. So then the Gemara says, Yosef Rav Hamnuna, Kame De'ula. The Kohavi B'Shmaisa, he was asking questions on this whole discussion. And Amar, he said, Ula said about Rav Hamnuna, he said, Ma Gavra, who is this person? Who are you? Ilav De Harpanya, Miasi, he must come from the city of Harpanya. Harpanya was a place of where people had no yichus, a place of mamzeris. So we accused Rav Hamnuna from coming from this city. You have no yichus, because I guess he was bothered by all the questions he was asking him. So Ichsef, so Rav Hamnuna got very embarrassed that he was accused of coming from such a place. And Amar Lei Ula says, "Ksafku glasa lahecha yahavta." So so tell me, where do you pay your taxes to, if not from this city? Amar Lei le Pum Nahara. I come from this city that's on whatever the city is called, next to the riverbanks. That's where I pay my taxes. I'm not from the city of Harpana. Don't accuse me of this place without any yichus. Amar Lei imkein mi Pum Naharat. So that's the case. That's the case. So you're not from the city of Harpanya. So my Harpanya, what exactly is the city Harpanya that he was so insulted that he was accused of coming from such a city? Reb Zera says, Har Shakol Ponimbo. This was a mountain that all the psalm would go there. If you were a puzzle, if you were Mamzer, you'd go to this city. That's where all the psalm would go to. The Masnis and Tan, the Brisa taught us that Kol She'ein Makir Mishpachto V'Shivto, if a person didn't recognize his family, didn't recognize his Shevet, he had no Yichus, so then Nifshan L'Sham, he'd go there because that's where you could marry other people who also had no Yichus. They all marry within each other if you had no Yichus. So Amar Rava said, V'hu Ahiyamuka, it's a place that's very deep. Mishol, it's deeper or worse than the Gehenim, actually. She Ne'amar, it says in the Pasuk Hosea, Miyad Shol Eftem, from the place of Shol, I will redeem you. Mimavas Egalam, and from death I will redeem you as well. The Ilu Psule Didei, less like Takanta. However, while Gehenim has an ability to be redeemed, an ability to be fixed from Gehenim, when it comes to Psulim, once you're Pasul forever, then always fixing it. So you see that Psulim is worse than Gehenim. So this place of Harpanya was worse and deep than that of Gehenim. So Gemara then says, Psule Darpanya, Mishum Psule Dimesham. Now the psulim of Harpanya was because it was close to the place of Meshan. They were intermingling. Upsule de Meshan mishum psule de Tarmod, and it seems that the psulim of Meshan were overflows from the city of Tarmod. Tarmod seems to be the nucleus of all psulim, and it overflowed somehow to Meshan, and from Meshan it went over to Harpanya. And psule de Tarmod mishum avde Shlomo, and what started off the psulim that existed, that lived in the city of Tarmod, really originated from the Maisa of the Avde Shlomo, who married the non-Jews that we discussed yesterday. Behind you, the Amri Inchi, that's what people would say, Kaba Rabba for Kaba Zute, a small measure and a large measure, meaning all the measures, all the psulim would get together, they'd somehow find each other. So it says, Migandar V'Azal L'Shol, and eventually they end up going from this place of Shol, which I'm not sure refers to the Gehenim at this point, they're just a city that's very deep. U'Mishol L'Tarmod, U'Mitarmod L'Mishon, U'Mishon L'Harpanya. Either way, there is some type of Hashkacha Pratis that all the psulim stay together from each location to the other location, and that's what the city of Harpanya ultimately was, a place of no yichus. Hadjir Alach. So we finished the first parak of Yevamos Baruch Hashem. So now we begin the second parak. So the Mishnah says now in the bottom, Ketzada Eishes Achiv Shlo Haya Ba'olama. We discussed already in the past Machlokas Atanaim, whether or not two brothers who did not live in the world together, whether that Yibum is permitted. Rabbi Shimon said you can do Yibum nonetheless, but we pass like the Tanakhama that if two brothers were not in the world at the same time, no Yibum would be allowed. So the mission now is elaborating what exactly is this case. So Kate said, Eishes Achiv Shlohaya Balamo. So you have Shnei Achim, two brothers. Umeis Achim, and one dies. V'nolad lehen ach. Now there's a third brother that's born after the first one dies. So let's call it Reuven and Shimon. Reuven dies, and after Reuven dies, Levi is born now. Now, so what happens is, V'acharkach yavam asheni es eishes achiv. Now, Shimon marries the wife of Reuven, the widow of Reuven, the eishes Reuven. So he marries eishes Reuven. Umeis. So now, Shimon dies. So now the wife of Shimon, and also the wife of Reuven, who's now married to Shimon, fall to Levi, who's the third brother, who's born after Reuven died. So now, Umeis. Harishona, the first one, we'll see what Rishona means in just a second. Harishona, the first one, is Yotze Mishim Eishes Achiv Shalahaya Ba'olamo. So the first wife, which is the wife of Reuven, cannot marry Levi because Levi and Reuven were not in the world at the same time. So she's Pater from Yibam, from Levi. And Vashniya, the co-wife of the Rishon, who was the original wife of Shimon, Hashnia Mishim Tsarasa. And Levi can't perform Yibam either to Shimon's wife, because since Shimon's wife was married to, was also a co-wife with Reuven's wife, so once Reuven's wife is pater to Levi because lo haya b'lama the kechad, so to the wife of Shimon as a tsara is pater to from Yibam as well, from Levi. Again, read again. Rishona is pater yote Mishim Eishes Achiv Shalaya b'lama, because that was the wife of Reuven. And the Shnia, the second wife, is Mishim Tsarasa. She's the co-wife of Reuven's wife. So also by Mimer. But let's say Shimon does Mimer only to Reuven's wife. Umeis. And then Shimon dies before doing Yibum. He just does Mimer. He does that Kedushin Midrabanan with the Yavama. So then he dies before doing Yibum. Shnia Choletzes Vlo Misavemes. So now the second wife, who is the original wife of Shimon, that Levi has to do Chalitza on her. Can't do Yibum, but it does Chalitza. Why? So if you look at Rashi to explain this, Rashi says, look at three lines up from the bottom. Asaba, Zeshemes, Mimer. So Shimon, who ends up dying, he does Mimer to Reuven's wife. For Hispik, Lekonto, Adshemes, did not have a chance to marry Reuven's wife until Shimon died. So now, Levi has two people in front of him, two wives in front of him, both Shimon's wife and Reuven's wife. But Reuven's wife is not really connected that strong to Shimon because they only did Mimer, not Yibum. So Shnia Choletzes, the second one, which is referring to Shimon's wife, Lo Miftura Mishim Tzaras Erva. She's not really exempt because she's connected to Tzaras Erva, because Delav Tzaras Amama Shehi. Is that really the Tzara? Because Shimon never entirely fully married Reuven's wife. It's only partially married to Reuven's wife. So really, Shimon's wife stands alone and is does not. She's Nafla to Levi. Velo Misavemis, but Levi can't do Yibum to Shimon's wife. Why? The Mimer Kona Mikdash, because when Shimon did Mimer to Reuven's wife, there was a shtickle kedushin that was chal there, so there's a partial tzara to Shimon's first wife. Havya tzaras erva b'miksas midrabanan, and that's why he has to take this middle approach where by Yibum is not allowed, but chalitza is required from Levi to Shimon's initial wife. Fine. So now the Gemara says, Amarav Nachman, man detani rishona lo mishtabesh, man detani shnia lo mishtabesh. So when our Misha said there's a Rishona, the first wife, so there's a machlokis in different yourselves, should that really been Rishona or should that really be Shnia? In other words, do we call the wife of Reuven, who ends up marrying Shimon through Yibam, is she called the Rishona or is she called the Shnia? So the Gemara says both make sense. Either way, both yourselves work. Again, man detani Rishona lo mishtabesh, there's no mistake if you called her Rishona, and man detani Shnia lo mishtabesh, those who referred to her as a Shnia also didn't make a mistake. How so? Man detani Rishona, the one who referred to the wife of Reuven, who ended up marrying Shimon to Yibam, the one who called her Rishona, going on to Amud Beis now, lo mishtabesh, was not mistaken, because my Rishona did not feel. She was the first one who fell, whose husband died, so she fell to Shimon. So she's the first one to Nefila. That makes sense, that she was the first one who lost her husband. The man detani shnia, the one who thought that wife of Reuven is called the second wife, why? Lo mishtabesh isn't mistaken either. My shnia, what does shnia mean? Shnia linesun. She was the second one to marry Shimon. It was Shimon's second wife. So she was the first one to lose the husband, but she's the second one to be married to Shimon, so that's also called shnia. So milo askina, we're not talking about a case where the yavam b'charkach kanas, So Ella is not a case where she Yibum and then there was marriage afterwards. Ella Mai Shnia Shnia Benisuin. She was the second one to marriage. Look at Rashi. Rashi says Shnia Lenisuin. Two lines down. The Nisuin Shel Sheni Shehi Shehu Hayanasa Kvar Hacharis Kishinafla Zos Lefanav. That Shimon was already married to a first wife. So when he married Reuven's wife, it was the second wife of Shimon. So Milo Askinan says Rashi, we're not talking about a case Kilomar Milo Mitok Menami Masisim Beyavam Aishis Achiv Tchila Vacharka Kanas Esacheres. So is it not talking about a case? Can you also not say the Mishnah is a case where maybe that the Yibam, that Shimon married Reuven's wife first and then afterwards married his wife separately? So now the Gemara says maybe Nisun doesn't necessarily mean Shimon's second wife, but maybe what it really means is that this woman was married two times. She was married first to Reuven, and then she was married to Shimon. So it's her second marriage. That's what means Shnia. So either Risha means she lost her husband first, or Shnia means this was her second marriage that she married Shimon afterwards. Either one makes sense. Fine. Now the Gemara is a little bit clearer, the rest of the Amun. Gemara says five lines down now. Eishes Achiv, Shalaya Bolomo, that you have a wife of a brother, and who are not the same in the world at the same time. Hey Chaksiva, where's the pasuk? What's the source that Levi, in our case, would be pater from doing Yibam to Eishes Reuven? How do we know this? So Amar Yehuda Amar Rav, Amar Kwa, the pasuk says Ki Yashu Achim Yachdav, when the two brothers Ki Yeshu Achim Yachdav, when they're both living together in the same world, Shehayi Salahem Yeshiva Achas Ba'olam, that both Reuven and Levi have to be living as brothers Yachdav together. Prat le'eshes achiv shalaya bolam, as opposed to Levi, who was not alive to ever meet Reuven, and therefore he would be potter from Yibam Mechalitza. What does the word yachta mean? Miuchadim benachla. So which brothers are chayv and Yibam Mechalitza to each other? Only those who have miuchadim benachla, those who have shaykhs with each other with nachla. Prat le'achiv mina'im. In other words, when a person dies, so the way it works is brothers pass on Yerusha to each other if they share the same father, but not if they share the same mother. So yachta means that they have to have this unique relationship that brothers have from a father as opposed to brothers of a mother. In other words, if Reuven has a half-brother Shimon, that they only share the same mother but different fathers, and Shimon dies without any children, Reuven would not perform Yibum to Shimon's wife because that's only Achiv min ha'im. The pasuk yachta means that miuchad menachla, that Achav min ha'av. So Gemara says, Rabba Amar, he brings another source how he knows that only brothers with the same father have a mitzvah of Yibam Chalitza, and that's based on a Gezer Shava, Achu Achu, Mibnei Yaakov, that we call the brothers of Yaakov, that all 12 are considered brothers, and they all shared the same father, of course. So just like Achav there, Min Achav Min Aav, so to by Yibam means Achim Achav Min Aav. So again, Ma'lahalan Min Aav V'lo Min Aim, Afkan Min Aav V'lo Min Aim. So the two different opinions, what is the reason why only brothers from the father, Chayv and Yibam, either because Yachla means Miuchadim Bin Achla, or because a Gezer Shava from Bnei Yaakov? Gemara says, wait a second, once you have this Gezerah Shava, Achu Achu Min Bnei Yaakov, why are we dafka learning from Yaakov Avinu? Maybe Achu Achu should be learned from another source. What would that other source potentially be? So Gemara says, Leilef Achu Achu Me Arayos. So what would we learn from Arayos? So if you look at Rashi, Rashi writes around eight narrow lines down, Me Arayos, Irvas Eishes Achicha, one cannot marry the wife of his brother. V'kai Malam, we learn the Gemara in Yivamos, Dav Nun Hei, the Afilu Achicha Mina'im V'lo Mina'av. When it comes to Arayos, we don't care whether it's a half-brother from the father or a half-brother from the mother, the Arayos is still true. So just like Achim by Arayos is both from the father and the mother, maybe Achim by Yibam should also be Bein Mina'av, Bein Mina'im. So why are we limiting it only to Achim Mina'av, by Achim Mina'im? So Gemara says, I'll tell you why we can't learn from Arayos. Because Donim Achim Me'achim, Vein Donim Achim Me'achicha. The pasuk says, the Eishes Achicha. That's not the same word as Achim. We're learning the word Achim. It has to be very precise. So that's why we can't learn from Arayos. Gemara says, what do you mean? My nafkamina. Who cares? We're never so precise when it comes to Gezer Shavas. Sometimes there's wiggle room. There's so much wiggle room. The Gemara tells us it must be next week's Parsha, I think, that Tani Debei Rabbi Yishmael, the Shava Koin, Uva Koin, when the coin returns, the coin comes, and we make a Gezer Shava, even though the words are entirely different. The Shava Koin, Uva Koin, make a Gezer Shava. Zui Shiva Zihu Bia. So Gemara says, no. That type of Gezer Shava, we're taking from two words that are very different. That's Hani Mili, Heichai Dileka Midi Didamila. That's where there's no other words to use. That was the best we could come up with. Aval Heicha Deika Midi Didamila. But when there are words that are exact, the more exact, the better we are. Medamila Yafinan. So we have words that are exact, and words that are not exact, we always opt for the words that are more exact. But if we have no words that are exact, then we have to use some wiggle room and to be loosely find the gzeir shavah. Now, it's very important to know, I mentioned this in the past many times, gzeir shavah, we know, ein adam dan gzeir shavah me'atzmo, ela amasher masel merabo. You can't make your own gzeir shavah. It's a mesorah. So what's this machlokas here about? If it's this gzeir shavah, is that gzeir shavah? If it's this word, that word, you don't have a choice. It's a mesorah. Ramban writes on the Sefer Mitzvos that the gzeir shavah, part of it has to be a mesorah, not the entire gzeir shavah. Meaning, Gzer Shava, there are three elements of the Gzer Shava. Number one is which word are you using. Number two is which concept are we connecting to each other. And thirdly, which halacha is passing through. Ramban says that not all three have to be Masorah. Sometimes all three are Masorah, which means we know which word to use, we know which applications, we know which halacha. Sometimes all of them are true, but sometimes we only have one part of the Masorah. In other words, we know that the word Achim is a Gzer Shava. Where it is, how it's used, that's up to you. Figure it out. So that's the Gemara saying here. We know there's some Gzer Shava with the Achim. So what do you do? Oh, maybe it's from the word Achecha from Arayos. Maybe it's from the word Achim from Bnei Yaakov. There is some wiggle room even within the Gzer Shava that goes back to Misora. So Gemara now says further, okay, so we can't learn from Arayos because we have a better word to use, Achim from Bnei Yaakov. So then the Gemara says, okay, I'll bring another area where the same exact word Achim is used. Where is that? V'leilef achua achua meilot. It says in Parshas Lech Lecha, ki anoshim achim anachnu, we're brothers, me and you, Lot, Avram, we're brothers, come on. Now, they weren't really brothers, they were uncles and nephews. Avram was his nephew, rather Avram was his uncle. So that's achim, so maybe even uncles should be able to perform yibum for each other based on the gzeir shavah from Lot. So Gemara says no. Mistavra, it makes more sense if you're going to use the word achim, even though it's the same exact word by Lot, it makes more sense to learn Mibnei Yaakov, Havalei Lemelech. Why? Mishum Dumam Maftei. It's extra. We know when it comes to Gzeir Shava, when there's an extra word, that's usually indicative of that's the source of a Gzeir Shava. Why is it an extra word by Yaakov? Midahavalei Lemichta Vishnemasar Avadecha Bnei Avinu. And it says the extra word achim, that we're brothers, that was unnecessary. Once we're the same, we share the same father, certainly we're brothers, must be shma milafnui, it's an extra word, it's superfluous, and therefore, it makes it available for gzeir shava, as opposed to by Lot, the word wasn't extra, and it wasn't available for gzeir shava. So now the Gemara says, okay, what happens from all this is, it seems to be we have two different drushes, how we know that Yibam only applies to Achim and Minav. We have the word Yachtav above, Miuchadim and Benachla, and then we have Rabbis Gzeir Shava Achua Achua. Why do we need two different sources to teach me the same exact halacha? And the Gemara explains, Vitzrich, you need Lemichtav Achim, Vitzrich Lemichtav Yachtav. They're both necessary to teach me this halacha. Why? Because the Kasir Achmana Achim, have we only had the word Achim? I would have thought Leilif Achu Achu Milot. I would have thought maybe learn from Lot. Therefore, the word Vichi Tave. If you're going to tell me why do you learn from Lot? Lo Mifne. So that word Achim is not superfluous by Lot, like we said above. We're saying no. Lo Yafnui Mifne actually is extra by Lot because Midahavle Lemichtav could have said Roim, and yet it says Ksiv Achim. That tells me that the word Achim is extra, and I would have learned Shmami Nalafnui. So I would have thought maybe Achua from Achim from Lot. For that reason, Kasir Achmana Yachtava Ham Yuchadim Benachla, which are brothers from the father, as opposed to an uncle and a nephew, are not so strongly connected as it comes to Nachla. So both are necessary. Now, E Kasir Achmana Yachtav, had the word only said Yachtav, that they're together, Benachla, I would have thought that Miyachtei Ba'aba V'ima, that maybe they should be so connected they both share the same father and mother, not just half-brothers, but both father and mother is necessary. But if there's a half-brother from the same father, maybe even wouldn't be necessary. Therefore, Tricha Achim, we learn from Bnei Yaakov, that even if they share the same father only, they're still considered brothers. So both Yachtav and Achim are necessary. Now, Gemara says, V'ha, Meichateisa, what was a Havmina to think that the brothers have to have both a father and a mother together? That was a Havmina. The Gemara just got a fleeting thought here. Where is it based on? V'yibum benachla talarachmana. We know Yibum, the Pasuk connects Yibum to Nachla. And when it comes to Nachla, Nachla min ha'av v'lo min ha'im ha'i. The mother has nothing to do with Nachla. When it comes to Pascha and Yerusha, it all depends on the father. So what's having to think that you need the father and mother to share both parents? Where is that based on? And the Gemara says the Havmina is that maybe the reason why you need the brothers to be sharing both the same father and mother is for the following. Because Itzrich Tzalkadaitech Hamina, I would have thought, that this whole concept of Yibum is a whole Chiddush, the kemishtari erva gabe, that to permit a yibum, rather to permit an erva, that a brother can marry an eish to achiv, that's erayos. The fact that it's allowed is a chiddush. Maybe that chiddush goes so far, ema adim yachte ba'abavima. Maybe we have the requirements are a little bit more tight, necessary that both parents have to be the same for the brothers. That's the havina based on the chiddush of knocking out this erva. And therefore, Tricha tells me that no, as long as they share the same father, that's enough to override this iser of an erva. Fine. So now the Gemara says as follows. Amr v'huna amarav, Shemeres Yavam, Shemesa. So Shemeres Yavam is the woman, the widow. The Eish is Achiv, she loses her husband. So let's say Reuven and Shimon, Reuven dies. So Eish is Reuven is now what's called the Shemeres Yavam. She's waiting for the Yavam. She's waiting for Shimon to either do Yibam or Chalitza. So she's called the Shemeres Yavam. And Shemesa, let's say she dies. After Reuven dies, and then she dies afterwards, before Shimon ever did Chalitza or Yibum. So now, Mutter Be'ima. So Shimon is allowed to marry Shemeres Yavam's mother, because he never did Yibum Chalitza. He had no connection to her at all, so even though he was supposed to do Yibum or Chalitza, but she dropped dead, so he's allowed to marry her mother. That's allowed. Alma, we see from this, Kasavar, ain't Zika. There's no Zika. Zika means that there's a connection. So if you were to hold the moment that Reuven dies, that Shomer's Yavam is connected as a Zika to Shimon, he will not be able to marry the mother because there was some relationship that already existed with the Shomer's Yavam. But if you assume that there's no Zika, there's no connection between the Shomer's Yavam and Shimon at all, then he's certainly allowed to marry the mother of the Shomer's Yavam if she dies. So Gemara said, okay, so why not say, Lema Halacha Kedivre Omer Ein Zika? So why didn't the Gemara just say, why didn't Rav Huna simply say that we paskin, there's no Zika? Why do you have to say, if the Shomer's Yavam dies, he can marry the Ima? And we have to figure out, oh, what's the principle? It must be Ein Zika. Why not be very clear? There's a principle that Ein Zika. So Gemara says, Lema Halacha Kedivre Omer Ein Zika. And the Gemara answers, I Hava Omer Hachi. Had we said, there's no Zika. Hava Mina, I would have thought, Hani Mili Betray. Maybe that's only true if Reuven dies with two wives, since there are two options, Shimon could choose either wife A or wife B. That's where there's no Zika at all, because he doesn't know the direction he's going in. Avaba, maybe, Bechad Yesh Zika, but maybe where there's only one wife to Reuven, and he has no option, it's either his wife or that same wife, there's no choices here, maybe there should be Zika between Shimon and the Shomer's Yavam. So for that reason, they didn't want you to be confused. So they gave you a scenario where Shomer's Yavam died, one can marry the mother. Even though there's one wife, there's no Zika. So Gemara says, okay, so why not say, that could have been very clear, Lema Halacha Kedivrei Omer Ein Zika Afil Bechad. That would also have been very clear. There's no Zika, even when there's only one wife to Reuven. So Gemara says, Iyamer Hachi, have you said that? Have, I mean, I would have thought, Afilu Mechaim, that maybe even Mechaim, that's the case, there's no Zika, that even if the Shomer's Yavam was alive, he could have married the mother of the Shomer's Yavam. That's why I would have thought, had I said that halacha that way, but Kamash Mlan, the La'achar Misa in Mechaim Lo. No, that's why you have to be very clear, that only after the Shomer's Yavam dies, can now Shimon marry the mother? Mishum de asi levata mitzvah yivam yivamon. Because what would happen would be if Shemesh Yavam was there, and while she's alive, Shimon marries the mother, even though it might have been permitted to marry the mother, als arayos, it would have knocked out the possibility of doing yivam chalitza afterwards, and you lost out on a mitzvah. So we say, no, first perform yivam chalitza. You're not allowed to marry the mother. But if she dies, then you would be able to marry the mother because there is no zika.
But if he does chalitza or yivam, he's allowed to marry the mother.
No. No. After Yibam Chalitza, she becomes Pasul. Yeah.
The mother becomes Pasul also.
Exactly, yeah.
Even after Chalitza.
Exactly. So then the Gemara says, Tanan, the Mishnah tells us, Yivamto, Shemesa, Mutter, Bachosa. So Yivamto, a person which is a Shemer's Yavam, her, the Yavama. If she dies, the Yavam is permitted to marry her sister. So Gemara says, Bachosa in, Bimalo. We can be Medayik, only the sister is permitted, but not the mother. So that goes against what Rav said above, that you can marry the mother of Shemer's Yavam, if Shemer's Yavam dies. Gemara says, lo. Who adin da filo be'ima? The truth is, really, the Yavam can even marry the mother of the Shemer's Yavam after the Shemer's Yavam dies. So why did it only say the sister, if it's true by the mother as well? The idea, the Tana Reisha, since the Reisha taught the case, Ishto Shemesa, Mutter Bachosa, that if a person's wife dies, he may marry his wife's sister after his wife dies, Bachosa in Vabima lo. But one's mother-in-law, he cannot marry. The Havilei Isur Deraisa, that's a real Isur Deraisa, even after one's wife dies, a mother-in-law is usher forever. They taught a parallel case when the Shemer's Yavam dies, just like when the person's wife dies, he could only marry the sister not the mother. When a Shomer's Yavam dies, you can also marry the sister. Even though one can also marry the mother of a Shomer's Yavam that died, but since the Gemara was talking about, the Mishnah was talking about a sister, it was consistent by the sister as well. But in a Hanami, the Locha is true that the mother of a Shomer's Yavam Shemeta is permitted as well. So now the Gemara says, Rav Yehuda Amar, Shomer's Yavam Shemesa Aser Bima. He argued on the above. While Rav felt that one can marry the mother of the Shomer's Yavam Shemesa, Rav Yehuda said one may not marry the mother of Shomer's Yavam. Why not? Alma Kesavar Yesh Zika. It must be Rav Yehuda holds that there is Zika. Meaning the moment Reuven dies, Eshes Reuven is connected to Shimon. There's a certain Zika, there's a certain relationship, which then asers the mother to Shimon as well. So Gemara says, why say it in that way? Lei mahalacha kedivrei Omer yesh zika. So shouldn't Rav Yehuda simply say that there's zika? Just say there's zika, and I would have known if there's zika that of course one cannot marry the mother of the Shomer's Yavam. So the Gemara answers, I hava amar hachi. Had he said the halacha is that there's zika, hava mina would have thought hani mili bechad. Only if there's one wife to Reuven is there going to be zika to Shimon. Avava may be betrayed if Reuven died with two wives, eight zika. There's no zika because since there are two options, you can't draw a line from Shimon to either one of them. Maybe there's no zika when there are two wives left to Reuven. But how could that be? Vahaki pligi betray pligi. Isn't the machlokas by zika in general, whether there is zika or not zika, isn't that in the situation where there are dafka two brothers? In other words, if you hold zika, you're going to hold zika where there's one or two wives. There's not a havamina to think that zika only by one wife, not two wives. It's either all or nothing. So that can't really be a havamina. So again, why didn't Rabbi Huda simply say, yei zika? And wouldn't you say yei zika? I would have known there's zika whether there's one wife, there's zika when there's two wives. Ella, yamar hachi. Had he said that there's Zika, I would have thought, and the Gemara says on the top of Yud Ches now, I would have thought that Haba Mina Mechayim, when is there Zika? Maybe only when they're alive. Aval Achar Misa Pakale Zika, but maybe after Shomer's Yavam dies, maybe the Zika falls away, and the Yavam may marry the mother of the Shomer's Yavam. Kamashmam de Zika Bichdi Lo Paka. No, to tell me that Zika doesn't disappear, doesn't vanish on its own. If you hold the Zika, you have to do something about the Zika, either Yibam Mechalitza, with death alone, it doesn't get removed, and that's the requirement. So that's machlokas between Zika and non Zika. Let's quickly recap what we did today. We first spoke about the situation of the children, the boys and the girls, and married the Aseret HaShvatim, and then even though when the boy marries a non Jewish girl, the product is a non Jew, when one's own daughter marries a non Jewish boy, the children should be Jewish. The Gemara says no, because in that particular door, all the girls from the Aseret HaShvatim, they all lost the ability to have pregnant, and there's no real chashash of that ever happening. Then they spoke about, at that time, another opinion was, all the Aseret HaShvatim that left, they gave them a din of Ovdei Chachamim Gemurim, and therefore there's no chashash of them being Jewish and the children being Jewish ever again. And then the Gemara said they're going to make a big Yom Tov the day that Talmud is destroyed, because Talmud was a terrible place of all Mamzerus. So this way there's no issues of Yichus into Am Yisrael. We spoke at different cities that had all the Mamzerim had really gravitated towards these cities, such as Harpanya was one of these cities. And then the Gemara said about the Mishnah of Eshet Achav Shel Yabal Lamo, that the ladies potter both from Reuven's wife and from Shimon's wife, and either would call her Rishona or Shnia. Either she was Rishona because her husband died first, or Shnia because she married twice, the second time, to Shimon. We discussed the source. How do we know Achav Shel Yabal Lamo is potter from Yibam Chalitza? Because the pasuk says Yeshu Achim Yachtov, and also the pasuk Achu Achu the Gzer Shava. We suggest maybe learn Achu Achu from Arayos, that even the brother from a mother, no, because Achich is used. Maybe we should learn from Lot that because it's an extra word only by Bnei Yaakov, not an extra word by Lot. And we end up saying you need both the word Achim and Yachtov together to teach me that the brothers are Chayiv in brother from the father is Chayiv in Yibam Chalitza. You need both of them working together. And then the Gemara said at the end, this machlok is Rav versus Rav Yehuda, where the Shomer's Yavam Shemesa, whether the Yavam is permitted to the mother. If you hold there's no Zika, then he's permitted to the mother. If there's is Zika, then it'd be Usher to the mother of Shomer's Yavam. Okay? Everyone have a wonderful day.